everybody, and welcome to episode 120 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who also had to take one for the team with Kim Jong-un, Brian. Brian, how are you today, my friend?
I care about world peace. I care about the next generation, the generation after that, and the generation after that. So if there's a world leader who is threatening the safety of this globe, I am willing to, get on my back and let nature take its course.
All right. Well, I respect you for that. Let's get right into the thick of it, Brian. We got a huge episode ahead of us. Let's get into it with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Sláinte.
Fools.
Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
Brian, if you don't mind, I'm going to go first this week. We are coming up on a holiday weekend, Labor Day. Labor Day out there to, celebrate the American worker, the little man, the man, the entrepreneurs of the world, the people that build this country up. Nothing greater than America. So I am going with a small business. I am going with our new friends at Cheshire Brewing Company. Veteran-owned business. Again, you don't get much more American than that. Their new hazy IPA juice joint, they call it, clocking in at 6.8%. Literally my first time trying this. Let me just take a sip here real quick.
That color is actually quite familiar. It looks like the plasma that I donated about a month and a half ago when I went to the New York Blood Center. And they took my convalescent plasma as it is just filled with the COVID antibodies. It was a similar color. How's your beer?
I gotta say it's a great beer. They also, this is a new one. They also came out with a wit beer that I tried earlier this week. Definitely one of the best beers. So kudos. It tastes like America. And as it should going into this Labor Day weekend. Brian, what do you bring into the table for Drink of the Week?
This week, I went really and I thought about labor. I thought about the workers. You know, I thought that Labor Day is not just an American holiday. It is a holiday for workers across the world, a day when they can all get together, a day when the workers can unite.
And what are you drinking then? I'm kind of confused here.
Well, the beer that I chose made me go overseas to a land where the workers are truly celebrated. And I'm talking about Mother Russia. Baltica puts out an incredible Russian Imperial Stout. And unlike a plasma-colored drivel, this actually looks like something that would come out of another hole of my body if I actually tried Taco Bell one day. So this is an Imperial Stout from our friends from Russia, Baltica. And I'd also like, for those people who are avid listeners of this podcast, you may remember that Baltica, they sponsored our very first Racist of the Year award, Ron. I want to make sure that you haven't forgotten that. These are the people who put money in your pocket. Now it's time, put a little in theirs. All right, workers of the world.
Drink up, leading into this American holiday weekend, celebrating a country that is interfering in our election again by spreading propaganda about mail-in voting. But is the beer tasty, Brian? Because apparently that's all that matters.
This is absolutely delicious.
All right. Well, I mean, if you can look at yourself in the mirror, more power to you. So, Brian, I hesitate to ask because, again, if you're willing to drink a Russian beer, who knows what else you're going to bring to the table. Again, we missed our pre-show meeting. Were you able to find a sponsor for this week's episode?
I was. And I think I hit a home run here.
Okay, nothing incendiary, nothing controversial.
No. Listen, all right. Last few weeks have been difficult for me, just trying to land a proper sponsor. And I think one of the issues I had was that I was shooting too high.
Okay.
Goya, the WWE, Herman Cain. What was I thinking? You're
going after.
I wanted to impress you.
Okay.
And I realized that impressing you, it's not about the star caliber. It's about the quality.
Okay.
So this week I went into familiar waters. I reached out to another podcast.
Oh, nice.
Not competitor of ours.
Okay.
They're doing something very different from us. And what I hooked up with them was an ad for an ad trade. We're going to read a promo for their podcast, and this week they're going to read a promo for our podcast on theirs.
Well, read away. Just do the read. Let's hear it. I'm interested.
Perfect. Rob and Ryan, the Rob and Ryan podcast. They are two former college disc jockeys who did a talk radio show when they went to Schenectady University, and now they're doing a podcast thanks to today's technology. They talk about current events, but with an irreverent approach. I listened to an episode this week, and it's pretty clever. Rob is an unemployed, lazy piece of garbage from Pennsylvania, while Ryan is a hard-working go-getter, leaving his house every day to go into his office for the job that he still holds, despite living in the COVID-wrecked history that is New York City. They've got weekly bits that are really entertaining. They do something called Adult Beverage of the Week, where they each have an adult beverage and they talk about it. There's Woke Person of the Week, where Rob describes people from the past week who are calling out racial injustices within society. They also just started a Patreon called Before Sunrise, when things get a little risque. So check out the Rob and Ryan podcast on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and wherever else you may get your podcasts. Rob and Ryan, now more than ever.
I don't know what to do with that one.
Rob and Ryan, come on.
Do you feel
check out maybe, their podcast.
Do you feel maybe someone was pranking you with that?
No, why?
I just can't with you something for some weeks.
This week in
racism.
You just let me know if that check clears. That's what's going to be the case.
There's no money. They're going to run a promo for us.
All right. This week in racism, we are going with a all law enforcement edition this week, unfortunately.
Oh, so it should be very quick. It should be one.
Okay. We are starting in Arkansas County, Arkansas, where Sheriff Todd Wright resigned his position after a recording went viral of him repeatedly using a racial slur. The recording was of Wright and his girlfriend, whom he got angry with for talking to a black person in a grocery store. He calls his girlfriend a, quote, N-word lover and asks her, quote, why you gotta holler at fucking N-words when I'm around? During a county meeting, he said he wasn't racist and he made those comments in the heat of the moment when he was, quote, upset over certain things. In Columbia, South Carolina, a white police officer was fired after being caught on video using a racial slur. This is Sergeant Chad Walker. He was arguing with patrons outside of a local bar about how a black man allegedly called him the N-word. During the argument, the officer decided to use the N-word multiple times and continued to argue with people as another officer attempted to lead him away from the scene. Walker, a 14-year employee of the Columbia Police Department, had initially been put on administrative leave. And on Monday, however, a police department review board voted unanimously to dismiss him. Very sad stories to finish this out here. We do have in San Leandro, California, Officer Jason Fletcher has been charged with felony manslaughter in connection with the fatal shooting of 33-year-old Stephen Taylor on April 18th. Walmart security had called police stating that Taylor was trying to leave the store with a bat and tent that he had not paid for. Alameda County DA Nancy O'Malley released a statement saying that Officer Fletcher failed to use de-escalation options, noting that less than 40 seconds elapsed between the time he arrived at the store and the shooting of Mr. Taylor. Fletcher initially tased Mr. Taylor and then shot him in the chest. And then the story that's been hitting the headlines this week, going out to Rochester, New York. The family of Daniel Prude is asking for police officers to be charged with murder due to their actions in Prude's death back in March. Joe Prude, Daniel's brother, had called 911 after Mr. Prude, who had been visiting from Chicago, had ran out of his home in an erratic state. He had been taken to the hospital the previous day after he apparently began experiencing mental health problems. After being detained and handcuffed by the police, the officers placed a spit hood over his head, as Prude had been claiming to have the coronavirus. He became more agitated after the hood was placed on his head, which resulted in three officers pushing him to the ground. A video from the scene shows one officer placing both hands on Mr. Prude's head and holding him against the pavement, while another places a knee on his back. After 2 minutes, Prude is no longer moving or speaking, and an officer notices that he had thrown up water into the street. A paramedic is then called over to perform CPR on him. He was diagnosed as brain dead when arriving at the hospital and died 7 days later after being removed from life support. The medical examiner has ruled his death a homicide caused by complications of asphyxia in the setting of physical restraint. It did, however, get announced a couple of hours earlier today that the mayor of Rochester has suspended seven officers that were involved in the apprehension of Mr. Prude, but the family is still pushing for murder charges to be brought against the officers.
I saw the video of this morning on the news.
Yep. Yep.
I could not understand what the hood they put on his head was. You just said that it's a spit hood?
It's referred to as the so-called spit hood. So, I mean, and it was around prior to the coronavirus. I mean,
This was from February, correct?
This is from March. March 23rd, I want to say it was.
That's post-COVID.
That is. And again, he had been running through the streets, you know, saying that he had the coronavirus. You know, again, some mental issues. There were toxicology reports show that there was PCP in his system. But again, you know, you've got police killing a black man on video. And this, you know, the family called 911 for help because they knew he was in distress. And, you know, we see this again, that who do you call when the people that you call to help you end up killing you? And again, I mean,
Ghostbusters,
you could argue maybe it's, you know, maybe it's not racism. Maybe it has nothing to do with the color of his skin. But again, you know, why if you're a black man in this country, do police kill you 3 to 4 times more often than white people? And this, again, is a perfect situation. You're being called for a person in distress, and you kill this person. You push his head down into the pavement. You kneel on his back, and you do that for an extended period of time, and you kill him. I mean, he was beyond saving. He was brain dead by the time he got to the hospital. I don't know. Again, if you want to argue that, you know, there isn't an issue with systematic racism in this country, if you want to argue there isn't an issue with racism in the police, but I don't know how you can argue that there doesn't need to be an examination of the way that police do their jobs when this is the result so often. And we see it so many often. You see it with Breonna Taylor, George Floyd. You know, you can go on and on. And it the more protests that happen and the more that it's brought to light, it doesn't seem to reduce the number of cases that happen.
I got nothing. I mean, the story this morning that I saw the video, and obviously it was a edited version of it. It was not the whole body cam video of it, but it clearly seemed like this guy had been subdued. Like, right. I think they had already had handcuffs behind on his back. Yeah. I don't know the whole story. I don't want to rush to judgment, but I don't see why this guy needed to die. That's all. That literally is all I have to say on this. I'm just tired of watching people die in this country, regardless of the reason.
Right. Yeah, it's sad. Regardless of the cause, way too often these last
seasons. Yeah.
Well, we are going to bring our guest on this week.
Let's do this.
We are being joined by Steve Holder. He is an independent candidate for the U.S. House in Tennessee's 1st Congressional District. born and raised in Tennessee, a former Boy Scout. He also served in the 101st Airborne Division of the U.S. Army, an accomplished writer with 8 titles, 2 fiction and 6 nonfiction to his credit, including his autobiography, No One Walks Alone, where he chronicles his issues with depression, anxiety, and addiction. And he says he wants to be a voice for those who often don't have a voice. So joining us right now is Steve Holder. Steve, thank you for joining us on the show.
Glad to be here, Ron and Brian. Glad to be here, and thank you for having me on.
Sure, fantastic. Let's get right into it. You definitely have an uphill battle ahead of you over the next 70-some days. As we mentioned, you're running as an independent. Your opponents on the Democratic side are Blair Waltzingham, and on the Republican side, Diane Harshbarger, a very red district. In fact, Republicans have held this particular seat since 1881.
Yes. No.
Yes.
Really?
You've done your homework.
I did a little bit of homework. I was just kind of curious. So we you know, we've had a few different candidates on. We had a candidate on a few weeks ago who's going to be facing Marco Rubio in 2022 as an independent. Again, also a very uphill battle there. So between getting into politics, which just seems like a very thankless job more and more, and the uphill battle, what drew you into the fray? What made you want to run for this office?
Well, I am tired of millionaires and billionaires running the world, making all of the laws, all of the rules. It seems like they're the ones that run for politics. They're the ones that get into politics. And, you know, the average person doesn't have a chance anymore of getting heard. You know, it's supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's the way I learned it in school. So, you know, I'm just a regular guy. You know, I'm not a politician. I'm not a billionaire or a millionaire by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just a regular person. And, you know, it's time that regular people get a say-so in what's going on in the world. You know, and like you say, in Northeast Tennessee, Republicans own Northeast Tennessee. Trust me, they own it. And, you know, the person that gets the Republican nomination is assumed to be the next congressperson. And she is taking her victory tour already. She's going around to all of the politicians, to all the big business owners, to all the right people. And she's just telling everybody she's ready to take over. She's ready to conquer America. And Trump 2020, that's her big thing, too. She's a regular Trump person, and everything seems to ride on her being able to jump on the bootstraps and on the bandwagon with Donald Trump. And, you know, I'm not a big Trump fan. So if you have an audience that likes Trump, they may not want to listen to what I have to say. You know, I mean, I'm...
We don't seem to attract a lot of Trump fans. They're there, don't get us wrong, but it skews slightly to the left.
Yeah.
Steve, how, you know, instead of in addition to being anti-Trump, let's talk about what you are in favor of. Walk us through your platform.
Okay, great. Thanks for asking. I do want to fight human trafficking. That is a very, very big issue, not only around the world, but even right here in Northeast Tennessee, we have an epidemic of parents selling their children into human trafficking to get drugs and money for drugs. Can you
believe that? That's awful.
It is horrible, and it's not being talked about enough. And I want to do everything I can to fight that. I also want to do everything I can to fight racism. Systemic racism is something I know you guys talk about, and it's something that's prevalent here in Northeast Tennessee. You know, this is not only the Republican capital world, it's, you know, there's a lot of racists here, and they don't want to hear people like me talk. You know, they don't want to hear that. And I'm running as an independent, and it also makes me even more of a, I guess you'd say, an enemy to the big politicians around here. But I want to fight the systemic racism. I want to do what I can to help bring some good jobs. Poverty is a huge problem around here, big, big problem. So I want to do what I can to help with that. And as a matter of fact, I pledged to donate 90%. You heard me right, 90% of my salary, if I'm elected, I will donate to charities to help these causes that I just mentioned. And I mean that sincerely, and I'm constantly repeating it because I want to be held accountable to that. You know, I don't want your money. I haven't asked for any contributions. I'm not accepting any contributions. My competition, they want much. They keep asking for money, even though Diana Harshbarger is a multimillionaire, and a lot of people say she bought her Republican nomination, and I don't disagree with that. But I just want to do what I can for the common people. I want to do what I can to help bring more attention to the drug issues. You know, there's a big opium, addiction problem all over the world, especially here in Northeast Tennessee. We have a lot of people that are addicted. We have a lot of stigma that's applied to people with mental illness and addictions, and I want to do what I can to fight that. You know, as you mentioned before, I'm a recovered person. I have been clean and sober for almost 36 years, and I have no problem saying that.
Congratulations.
Not something I'm proud of, but I'm not ashamed of it. I mean, that's just something that life dealt to me. And I am happy to stand up for people that are fighting these kind of battles. You know, they need more help and support. So these are the things that are near and dear to me. So I hope
you are also, it looks like, for the legalization of marijuana, however.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. It has been proven that it does have medicinal values, even though I am not a pot smoker anymore, even though I one time I was. You know, I don't think it's the sinister, evil weed that some people want to make it out to be, you know, and it's no more dangerous, probably less dangerous than alcohol, and I know you guys aren't against alcohol. Yeah, and neither am I. You know, neither am I. If people can do it and enjoy it. Well, I didn't see that. If people can do that, enjoy it, more power to you. I certainly did it when I enjoyed it, you know, but I took it way a lot farther than that. So, you know, yes, legalization of marijuana would be a good step in the right direction. There are some people in Tennessee now that are actively working to get that legalized, and I'm glad. You know, it's past time. It's past time.
All right. I did want to touch on your position regarding abortion. It does say in your platform that you are against abortion. It doesn't, however, kind of address if, from a governmental standpoint, if you feel that the government should have a say into whether women can have abortions or not. So how does, you know, knowing that you are against abortion, how does that go with what you would vote from a political standpoint?
Well, the people that are on the left, and I'm mostly I guess you could say liberal. Most of them are pro-choice. Now, the reason that I am not pro-choice is because I am a Christian, I'm a Catholic, and the church says that that's something that's immoral and it's not acceptable. That is the reason that I have this stance. Now, having said that, I do understand that there are conditions and there are circumstances where women just can't see the way to have their baby. I get that. Sometimes it's poverty, sometimes it's drugs, sometimes, well, it can be whatever. And no matter what I say or anybody else says, it will always be the woman's choice. So it doesn't really matter what anybody else says. And I know that abortions have been legal in the United States for decades. I have no intention of trying to change that, okay? I just like to be honest about where I'm coming from and why. But a lot bigger and more powerful people than me have tried to change that, and they have not been successful. So I don't think that I can, nor do I want to. I hope that clears that up.
Yeah, no, it's listen, honesty from politicians these days is very
rare. Yeah. Way too rare.
Yeah.
Steve, if I can ask you a question, what is your stance on wearing masks? Are you pro masks, or do you see it as an attempt by the George Soros Foundation to control society?
Okay, that is a touchy issue, and it seems to be a political issue for some reason.
That's why you're here, to answer those tough political questions.
There you go. I do realize there is COVID-19. It's real. It's dangerous. It's bad. And we definitely need to take it seriously. However, as I think you guys will agree, it has been politicized. There are people who use this as a way to badmouth the other party. You know, there's people that say masks are dangerous in themselves. Some people say we don't need them. I think probably here in Northeast Tennessee, there's probably a lot more anti-mask people than probably most places around the country. And it seems like that's pretty much a conservative thing. And as we know, Donald Trump is not a big fan of mask wearing. You know, he does it seldom. When I go out into public places, I do put on a mask. And it's actually mandatory in this area now if you go into
that's good.
A public building. So, you know, like I said, COVID-19 is real.
It's real. Very real. As somebody with the antibodies, I can speak that it is real. And if you would like to, if you're speaking to people in your area, you know, people that may be voting for you, and they say that they do not know where to get a good mask, just want to let you know, you can send them to our website at ronandbryanpodcast.com. Click on the link to our merch store, and you can get this lovely, lovely all cotton.
So I'll cut off your commercial real quick there, Brian. We do have a question from one of our listeners wanting to get your opinion on LGBTQ rights.
Okay. I agree that all human beings have rights. We have the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I have absolutely nothing against people in the gay or transgender community, none of them. And I try to stay away from listing all those letters because I forget them and I get them out of order. So anyway, I am all in favor of everybody being treated equally and with respect. You know, it's a part of being a decent human being as far as I'm concerned. Does that answer that question?
Or no, definitely does. Okay. And you do on your platform, you do make equality. I believe it's the first thing you list, regardless of sexual orientation, religion, race, all of that. So that's excellent to see. You're getting actually thumbs up in the comments here. So, you know, again, I like your platform personally. You know, one question I also do have, just kind of, and I think you kind of touched on it earlier, but you know, I think Brian too is a very big proponent in separation of church and state. You know, should you be in this office? Is it something? What do you feel would guide you more in your daily decisions? Would it be your faith, or would it be the wants and needs of your constituents?
I don't see that there's a conflict there. You know, people that practice true Christianity are all about love, compassion, mercy, helping the poor, you know, bringing the, the people from other immigrants, yeah, you know, supporting immigrants, you know, everybody has a place at the table. Everybody deserves to be treated with love, compassion, respect, dignity. So I'm all about that. You know, I am all about that. And, you know, a lot of these people, especially the Donald Trump supporters, they act like he's a great big moral leader. he's not moral and he's not a leader, in my humble opinion.
Yep. Oh, you don't have to be humble about that one. You can just say, this is absolutely just the way I feel. There's no need to be humble on that one.
Okay. And this, as we heard before, the moral majority, so-called, isn't always either one of those. Sometimes they're not moral, and sometimes they're not really the majority. They just talk louder. All of these, there's a lot of far-right fundamentalist Christians that think Trump is like the second Jesus Christ. Yeah. I have a lot of problem with those people. I'm always getting into arguments with them, you know, and you can't argue with a Trump supporter. You know, logic and reason, it just goes out the window. I don't see any conflict in my Christian faith and my looking out for people. That's a perfect harmony. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Makes complete sense. You're making way too much sense, which is unfortunately not the way that people go these days.
I know. And I hope to change that. I do realize that the odds are against me. I can't even get a debate from my Republican and Democrat opponents. Briar Washingham, the Democrat, she's always hounding Diana for a debate and badmouths her because Diana won't debate her, but yet she won't even debate me, you know. And as far as I see it, that's hypocritical, you know, in my not so humble opinion. How's that? So, you know, I encourage both of them to let's have a good debate, let's have a reasonable debate. And maybe you guys could even host it. I don't know.
We'd be all for that.
We'd be up for it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe we all can make it happen. I can't seem to do that.
Well, we'll start reaching out. We'd love to do that. Okay. All right, Steve. Well, we appreciate you joining us here tonight. If people do want to find out more information or follow you, what's the best way for them to do so?
Well, I did have a website that's working, but it has been attacked, and it has been directing people to strange places, so I can't say that. You can go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/steveholderforcongress.com.
All right. I'll share some links on our social media for you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well,
you're welcome. Best of luck.
Best luck to you in the election, and stay safe out there.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. I like Steve. I really like Steve.
Absolutely. I will say this, as a Northerner, the accent throws me off because the words coming out of his mouth are not necessarily what I would be expecting from that voice.
So you need to go. You need to go to Tennessee. I've been to Nashville a few times. Great city. If you haven't gone,
what's the deal with Nashville chicken?
It's hot. I can tell you that much. That's the only deal.
But I don't. What is it? It's just chili powder they spread on it.
I don't know what's in it. It's like almost like they dip the chicken in like this this Nashville hot sauce, and you get it on a roll with some pickles. It's very, very good in my opinion. If you like hot stuff, I don't know about you.
I do.
All right.
It's got to be the right time and place for it. Like lunchtime at work. I'm not in the mood for hot stuff.
All right.
Dinner or whatnot. Yeah. Let's go. All right.
Let's see. Where? What do we have coming up?
Where are we going, Ron?
We got to go to Beef of the Week, my friend.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
So I will. I'll start up again this week. A very minor beef that you will probably make fun of me for. But I have a beef with my township's collection schedule for our lawn yard waste bags. Like in theory, they say that they pick it up every 2 weeks. But here's the challenge: they pick up on a Friday, so any time that there is a holiday that week, they just skip it that week. And of course, since it's government, they literally follow every holiday, like Flag Day. We didn't have lawn bag service that week. And now this week, to piss me off even more, they're closing on Friday and Monday for Labor Day. So normally I would have lawn bags picked up tomorrow, but I had to drive them out to the yard myself. And I also had to drive them out to the waste yard today because they'd be closed tomorrow.
However, I will say this. It's not like you had anything else to do today.
You know what? I had things to do. I prepare for this podcast, for example. And I guess when we moved into this house years ago, our mortgage broker basically said, hey, congrats, you're moving from one of the lowest tax townships in the area to one of the highest tax townships in the area.
Cheered for taxes.
Ridiculous amount. But we get so many reduced services compared to what we were paying for. Like my old house, you could literally put a body out on the sidewalk and the garbage man would take it. Like here, you put anything too heavy and they're like, oh, I'm so delicate. I can't lift this into the truck. Please help me.
What kind of voice was that?
I'm not even sure.
There was a definite affectation, and I can't figure it out.
It's my delicate garbage man voice. I've been working on it for years, and I decided tonight to break it up.
Do you think you could do a character?
Possibly. Again,
delicate garbage man.
I just worked up to working it into the show. We'll see how I can do on that, Brian.
I like that.
What's your beef this week?
I'll be honest with you. My personal life this past week has been pretty good. I can't think of one time this week where, I hit a wall that really set me off. But there was something that's gone on over the last 24 hours has really annoyed me. And it's Donald Trump, obviously. You know, we've spoken enough about the man.
The president, 45.
We know exactly. Yeah, we know exactly where we stand with him. But he has issued a directive within the federal government to conduct investigations to defund specifically Democratic-run cities that allowed protests to take place this past summer.
Okay. New York City being one of them, I believe.
Coincidentally, I mean, I'm sure that would be my beef of the week, regardless of where I lived. I do live in New York City, and I know that we get a lot of money from the federal government. And my beef is that we've got a president in the White House who is just evilly vindictive.
So
evilly vindictive.
If I'm carrying the one here, wouldn't that mean that Donald Trump is in effect defunding the New York Police Department? Trump is defunding the police. That's a fact.
If A, then B. If B, then C.
Listen, all I can tell you is Trump defunded the police, and that's a fact.
I feel like there should be like a hip-hop beat behind, and that just that just soundbite just rolls on. Trump defunded the New York police.
I'll get in touch with the Lincoln Project.
Let's see what you can do. Anyway, but he's such a petty piece of garbage.
All right.
And the other fact, and I didn't research it because I just I have a job, but like, it's just the fact that New York is one of the states that contributes more in federal taxes than we get back. And the fact that he's threatening to keep the money that we give him, it's mind blowing.
You should be able to do with it what you want. Plain and simple.
That's why I'm a libertarian, Ron. It's why I'm a libertarian. Understood. Because I believe it's my money and the government shouldn't take it.
Listen, we do have something very important to cover this week that we weren't able to cover last week, and we need to make sure that we cover it this week, Brian.
Jews for Jesus?
That is the new season of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah!
The lineup came out, and I don't know how we missed it, but you know
we did miss it
on Dancing with the Stars this year? That bitch, Carol Baskin.
Killed her husband, whacked him.
Let's see. So we got Carol Baskin, who is on there. Monica Aldama, apparently an athletic coach of some sort on this show, Cheer.
I thought this show was about stars.
Caitlin Bristow. Who? I guess she was on The Bachelorette. Vernon Davis. All right. I know Vernon Davis, tight end, 15-year NFL veteran, played for the Niners and some other people. Anne Heche. There's an
no.
Indian
in
a while.
Anne Heche.
Dancing with the Stars. Skye Jackson. She is apparently somebody. She was in the Disney Channel hit series Jessie, as well as the spinoff series Bunked. Justin Machado. I know her. She was the mom on the One Day at a Time reboot.
Whoa. One Day at a Time did a reboot?
Oh, yeah. You missed it. It was on like channel 287. You missed it. Gina Fair Nye, who is on the syndicated talk show The Real. AJ McLean from your favorite band, the Backstreet Boys.
Wasn't that Bruce Willis's character in Die Hard, AJ McLean?
No, that was John McLean. This is AJ.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker!
Jesse Metcalf. He was on Desperate Housewives, I think.
That's not the actor from Empire who claimed that he was assaulted by two Trump guys.
But no. This is going to shock Brian. Nelly is going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
It is getting hot in here.
Charles Oakley, former Nick.
No. Charles Oakley.
Nev.
The man has no cartilage in his knees anymore.
Nev Schulman from Catfish fame. Christine Stouse, who is on the Netflix show Selling Sunset. And lastly, Johnny Weir, Olympic skater.
Oh, absolutely. Hands down the favorite. Hands down favorite.
Billy did clarify something for us, if I can pull it up here. Yes, One Day at a Time reboot was a Netflix show. I thought it was on another channel, but it was with a Hispanic family this time. It wasn't that bad.
Important question. Who played Schneider?
The Schneider character was they made a little younger, a little less sexual harassy this time. Listen.
Probably for the best.
Yes. So
it's probably for the best.
As we have to do at times, we need to make some wagers, Brian. So I sent you the list. Hopefully you've pulled up the article with the list of participants for Dancing with the Stars. So we have a few wagers here. We're going to place bets on it, see who is best. Who do you think will be the first eliminated?
Charles Oakley.
I went Charles Oakley also. It just seems to make sense.
Okay.
As you mentioned, he's got barely any movement in his legs. And I don't think he's got like a following.
No.
All right. Number of cast diagnosed with COVID during the season. This is an over-under bet, and we're placing it at 2.
Under.
Yeah, I went with the under also.
I don't believe that they will announce anybody gets COVID.
Really? All right.
Yes.
All right. Who is going?
Are you writing these down, or should I?
I'm writing these down also. I'm writing these
okay.
down. Okay. Right. Who will go further in the competition, 90s music edition? Will it be Nelly or AJ McLean?
I'm going to have to go AJ McLean. That guy danced and practiced dancing. If I remember, it was Lou Pearlman, who was the rainmaker for boy bands in the 90s. I believe that he worked AJ McLean so hard, and I'm not talking sexually. I'm going to say that his dancing skills are better than Nelly's.
All right. Maybe this will separate it since we've been tied so far. Who do you think will be the final three contestants left?
Okay. Johnny Weir.
Okay.
Nev Schulman.
Really? Okay.
And Justina Machado.
All right. I went with Johnny Weir, Vernon Davis, and Jeannie Mai. I don't know why.
Why did you go Jeannie Mai?
I figure a woman has to be in there. And I think, like, out of all of them, she's probably got the most cross-generational appear from being on that TV show of hers.
Okay.
That's fair. Who's going to win this whole thing?
Johnny Weir, and I will tell you this, when it's down to, I think what you and I should do is when we do our review of each episode of Dancing, are we watching it this year?
God, I hope not.
Really? You don't want to watch this so we can talk about it?
We'll watch it. I got to see what Charles Oakley does, if nothing else.
Is it still on ABC?
I believe so, yes. And it's hosted by, they fired Tom Bergeron and Aaron Andrews. It is now hosted by Tyra Banks.
I could see her doing a decent job at that. Yeah.
She'll be fine. Listen, you don't watch for the hosts.
Well, I do. I'm sorry, but like, I don't think you understand, but I am the president of the New York City chapter of the Tom Bergeron fan club.
Well, I picked Johnny Weir to win also. I mean, I think it's inevitable. I mean, he's the figure skater. He's got the moves. He's got, you know.
He's got the wardrobe. He's got the attitude.
Exactly.
He's sassy. He doesn't take shit from anybody. Although he's going to call everybody a girl.
I think Vernon Davis might surprise him. Because football players, for some reason, have done surprisingly well in Dancing with the Stars. Let's not forget, Emmitt Smith won the whole thing one year.
Rod, the very fact that you contain, that your brain contains those two facts that you just spit out there, that football players excel at Dancing with the Stars and that Emmitt Smith won the entire season, the fact that you actually know that concerns me so much. You need to get a job.
You need
to get a job really badly so that this minutia doesn't take up space and just reside rent-free in your brain.
That's fair. All right, more Dancing with the Stars.
If I could point out one thing, I just want to interrupt. There was an interesting comment in our an eagle-eyed listener on our YouTube. They pointed out, wondering what this white piece of cloth.
I see you had a little something on your arm there. So what is that?
I participated in a COVID study today. I went up to Columbia University and gave blood, stool, semen, and saliva samples.
Were they asking for all those, or you just gave them?
They wanted blood and saliva, but they left me alone in the room for a couple minutes. If you're going to do one, you're going to do the other.
Right.
So I masturbated furiously while defecating on the floor.
Okay.
I'm not sure they're going to invite me back for round two, but as a result of the blood test, I do want our fans to know that I did already receive the results of my blood test. Yes, I still have the COVID-19 antibodies.
Nice.
Thank you. No. This isn't me patting myself on the back. This is not me. Did somebody call me a hero? I think
there's a lot of comments coming in. Please tell Brian he's a hero.
They're coming so fast.
He's my inspiration. Like it's spinning. Yes. Like it's like a slot machine right now.
There's literally smoke coming off of the right hand side of my screen. But yes, I still do have the antibodies, and I want to thank everybody who prayed for me. Who is sending me good manifestations.
All right.
The positive vibes.
Stillness.
I love the tone you take when you have had enough of whatever it is I'm rambling about and you want to move on. Because
I don't want to move on. I want to jump back to Dancing with the Stars because I have some questions for you. I want to see if you can get them right.
I'm sorry. I thought we were done with that.
No, because there is only one way to gauge the value of people these days, and it's how much they can get on Cameo. Because the one thing that cracks me up about Dancing with the Stars is everyone keeps saying that Carol Baskin, that bitch, Carol Baskin.
Killed her husband, whacked him.
Is the biggest star on this season. And I would think there's probably at least a handful, Nelly, AJ McClain, Nev, that are like, I feel like I'm a bigger star. So we have to go to Cameo. So first of all, let me ask you this.
Wait a second. Yeah. You're using Cameo as the...
That's my barometer.
Barometer for the level of celebrity?
Yeah. Why the fuck not? It's my podcast.
It's 51% your podcast. Don't say it's your podcast. It's 51%.
Anyway, let's get into this. Who do you feel there are more of on Cameo? The stars or the dancers? Who has more accounts on Cameo? The stars participated in this season or the dancers? Because not everybody's on Cameo. Not everybody's made it there yet.
What do you mean by dancers? I thought the stars are the ones dancing.
So the stars are partnered with professional dancers.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. There are more dancers. There are more dancers on Cameo than there are stars.
You are correct. There are actually 9 dancers in this season that are on Cameo versus 5. That are the quote-unquote stars. So obviously, Carol Baskin said she's the most famous.
Killed her husband whacked him. Carol Baskin.
Who do you think gets more money for a cameo, Carol Baskin or Nev Schulman?
I'm going to say Carol Baskin.
Carol, $299. Nev, $195.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see.
That's going to flip in about 2 years. Carol Baskin's going to go down to about $50. I will say this without changing the subject, sticking with Cameo.
Right.
I find Cameo, the phenomenon of Cameo, absolutely fascinating because during this pandemic, you have watched literally the value of a celebrity literally just get completely wiped out, that you now have what I would consider A-minus celebrities promising within 4 hours to literally send a terrible video of, oh, hey, just want to say, good luck on your SAT test. You know, we're rooting for you. And these are people that never would be doing it, but they're doing it for the money because they're making they have no income stream right now.
All right. One last one, and then we do have some other stuff to get to. Who do you think charges more for a cameo, that bitch, Carol Baskin, or former NFL tight end Vernon Davis?
Vernon Davis, hands down.
Very good. Vernon Davis.
You want to know my logic?
Well, hold on. I'll tell you the numbers first. Vernon Davis, $475 versus Carol's $299.
Vernon Davis probably only wants to do a couple every day. So he probably is going to take the approach of, if I set my number too low, too many people, and then this is going to become a hassle. I want to make $500-$600 a day doing this and only this.
All right. And I guess one last question, high and low here. What do you think the most one of the dancers charges for a cameo is?
$150.
The highest is actually under $100. It's Cheryl Burke at $95. And what do you think the lowest one is?
$25.
Britt Stewart at $20.
I was close.
So we might have to get Britt to do a cameo for the podcast because she's only $20.
It's actually not a bad idea, my friend.
And got a
not
5.0. A bad
Wait a second. You rate your cameos?
Apparently you can rate them, but everybody was either a 5.0 or a 4.9. What I want to do is I want to see if there's a way to search on Cameo to find the lowest rated people, and I would love to see what their cameo turns up. Like, Trap Manny has to be like a 3.7.
Do you still have the audio somewhere?
Let's see. I don't know if I do.
Do you have the audio anywhere of Trap Manny? And I'll tell you, while you look, I'll tell the story of Trap Manny. Ron and I somehow, I would say, well, this was for our 1 year anniversary.
Yes.
So we're now looking at it probably about a year and a half ago. Somehow Ron and I think it was you. I think you came across Cameo and you sent me a link to it. And we decided that we were going to get celebrities to congratulate us on our 1 year anniversary. And we were scrolling through the website and I didn't really understand the platform. So I was not comfortable spending $100 or $50. I was like, no, let's do something a little bit lower. I guess it was the Hebrew blood in me, the Hebrew COVID antibody filled blood. So we ended up with this deep South rapper by the name of Trap Manny. Literally, I'm not kidding you, this guy charged $5 for a cameo. So we were like, you know, you can't go wrong. Even if he never does it and you're out the $5, what's the worst thing that ever happens? But he did do the video. He sent it back in a couple hours. And the kid mumbled. He literally mumbled through the whole thing.
Here we go.
Hey, yo, what the fuck is good, man? It's your boy Trap Manny, man. High Bridge of Labor, you already know the fucking game. I want to shout out Robin Bryant, man. I started me on a fucking podcast a year ago. It's the first year anniversary and shit, man. So I just want to congratulate Robin Bryant and for starting a podcast, man. You already know, man. Stay positive, man. Trap Skin Joe Connects, man. Trap Manny trying to rise above poverty. And that's what we all trying to do, man. So shout out to Robin Bryant. You already know, man. Keep going. Yeah.
You know, I'm not 100% convinced he wasn't sure he was doing a cameo for the Rob and Ryan podcast. He may have thought it was that show rather than ours.
Absolutely could. Well, it's also possible that Rob and Ryan decided to take that cameo and air it as if it was for them.
Very true. All right.
That to me was, I was sold. I was sold on Cameo after that video. The fact that you could just throw like a couple bits of info and you could get a celebrity, regardless of their level of fame, to basically say whatever the fuck it was that you wanted them to.
All right. Well, Brian, you apparently have some questions for me. You want me to answer the internet, you said.
Last week, it was on Patreon, correct? Where we had our inaugural Ron Answers the Internet. We should have a little soundbite. I hate to tell you.
I'll work on that every week.
I'd like to do this every week.
Every week, all right.
But this week, Ron, are you prepared to answer the internet?
As best I can, my friend.
All right, sir. Nothing sexual here. Straightforward. Would you rather know how or when you die?
I think I'd rather know when.
How?
I think kind of irrelevant because you're just going to die. But if you know when, you can certainly prepare. And like Tim McGraw says, you can live each day like you're dying.
Tim McGraw? I don't know Tim. Oh, no, I know Tim McGraw. He's the country singer, son of Tug McGraw.
Something like that. I think that's
You don't remember Tug McGraw?
I do remember Tug McGraw. But Philadelphia, this Philly, the Tug McGraw? Come on. What the fuck?
Excuse me, New York Met relief pitcher, Tug McGraw. Well,
I mean, agree to disagree. All right.
After he hit his peak and he was on his way and he was washed up, that's when we sent him off to Philadelphia.
Just real quick, Trap Manny, now $20 on Cameo, and it has a 4.4 rating with 7 days to reply. Thank you, Billy.
7 days? When did Trap Manny become so powerful?
What's he doing? All right, what's the next question you have? I want to keep answering the internet.
You want to do one more? I only put down two questions. I don't want to take up too much. All right.
Cool. Do another one.
Here we go. I'll do another one. This one is sports related.
Ooh,
if you had to kick an extra point in football, if you make it, you win $5 million. But if you miss, you can never have beer again. Ooh. Would you kick the ball?
Probably not. Because I am, this may shock you, Brian, not the most athletic guy out there. I feel I have greater odds winning the lottery than I do kicking a field goal.
Okay.
And I will say this, like, I have watched, you know, we used to go to a number of arena football games, you and I, and I moved down here. And I've watched people in the little halftime competition try and kick a field goal. And it is very difficult to get, you can get the straightness, but it's very difficult for a lot of people to get that height to go over the crossbar. And
people have talked about my penis the same way. They're like, listen, you've got the straightness, but it's the distance you don't have.
I'm sorry to hear that. Big week in celebrity obituaries. Speaking of sports, passed away.
This is going to be a tough bit. You want to go basketball? Are we talking Charles Oakley? He's supposed to be on.
But we had two all-time great college coaches passed away. Georgetown coach John Thompson passing away at the age of 78. And
Hoya Paranoia. John Thompson, one of the greatest college basketball coaches, took Georgetown, put them on the map, embarrassing John's
NCAA championship.
Made Syracuse look like a bunch of punk kids.
Don't talk about my Cuse, my Orangemen.
What are you talking about? What?
Listen, there are two people that Syracuse fans dislike tremendously. One is John Thompson. The other would be Keith Smart, who hit the three-pointer at the buzzer to have Indiana beat Syracuse in the finals. So okay. Those are right there. But listen, and the rivalry between Georgetown and Syracuse would not have been what it was if it weren't for how great a coach John Thompson was.
Correct.
And Lute Olson, a legend at Arizona. Yeah. The arena is named after him and his wife. And then in the NBA, this was kind of shocking. Portland Trailblazer legend Cliff Robinson, dead at 53. We all remember him with the headband. Just a constant performer for the Trailblazers, passing away way too young.
I remember watching him play.
Yeah. Kathy Smith, famous for injecting John Belushi with his fatal overdose, passing away at the age of 73. I am just very, I'm hopeful that when I get to the end of my life, the main thing people think about me is that I injected somebody with a lethal overdose. I don't want that.
You don't want that to be your claim to fame?
No.
I actually read a really good book about the Chateau Marmont.
Hotel out in LA?
Yeah, it was a history of that hotel.
Yeah.
I don't know how I ended up reading it, but it was fascinating. It started literally with a description of what Los Angeles was like, as the city started to rise, and this guy deciding to literally build a French chateau in the middle of nowhere at the time it was.
Yep.
And then the rise of the hotel, it became a staple in Hollywood. Ups and downs. Apparently it is not lavish, or it wasn't lavish up until the recent ownership. Like, the whole story of it was that it was quirky. It was rooms were of different sizes. Each room had different furniture because it was whatever they decided to buy at that time. But it did have a whole chapter on the death of John Belushi. And he died in one of the bungalows in the back. It was sad when you heard the story about how he died.
Yeah.
He literally was just an out-of-control drug addict, surrounded by out-of-control drug addicts, and nobody knew how to get off that train.
Nope. This was a tough one. Even as a Yankees fan, this was a tough one because you had to have respect for this man. Tom Seaver, Tom Terrific, led the Miracle Mets to victory in 1969. Passing away at the age of 75. He had suffered from dementia for a number of years. The greatest Met of all times, hands down, no question.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I don't remember. Let me rephrase it. It's not that I remember. I was not alive when he was around for his first tour of duty with the Mets. I remember getting into baseball when he was a Cincinnati Red. And then I remember him coming back to the Mets afterwards. And I remember it was a homecoming.
Very nice. So we will miss Tom. Again, I mean, you feel bad. He suffered for dementia for the last few years. I would just much rather go quickly. Like you asked about, I mean, so that would make it more difficult, though, because you asked me the question if I wanted to know my time.
How or when?
How I died.
Correct.
Dying from dementia would maybe make me want to know how I died, because if you know that you're going to die of dementia, like once I start like forgetting like what channel Guy's Grocery Games is on, maybe it's time to swallow a pistol at that point.
Speaking with some personal experience here, you don't even realize that that there's anything wrong with you forgetting what channel it is. Like you're not like humbled and embarrassed because you forgot what channel it is. You just can't find the channel and you give up and you go to another channel. It's not, you don't have the same wherewithal that you have right now, just sitting there wondering why you can't remember. Like Tom Seaver, I mean, don't get me wrong. Dementia is absolutely fucking awful and it's terrible to witness. But the person in it can't see how they look from the outside. They just know their perspective. I think it's actually worse. I think a stroke is far worse than dementia, where you have all your mental faculties, but you don't have the ability in your body to transmit the thoughts, comments, and physical actions that you want to take. Oh.
Same thing
that I think is way worse.
Or Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, they're all terrible, but they don't compare to owning 49% of a podcast.
that's just math. I get it. Biggest shock this week, actor Chadwick Boseman passing away at the age of 43 from colon cancer.
Yeah.
Played some tremendous roles, Jackie Robinson, Thurgood Marshall, and of course, King T'Challa in Black Panther and the Avengers movies. And shockingly, again, in this day and age of social media and everything else, the fact that no one outside of his inner circle knew that he had cancer and for the last 4 years, but just way too young for someone to be passing on.
It speaks, but you just brought up one of the parts that I did want to address. It did speak to the caliber of the people he surrounded himself with.
Oh, yeah.
That the people in his inner circle all knew, and it never leaked.
Yeah.
That at no point, and nowadays we live in such a bloodlust, paparazzi, celebrity news, TMZ, horseshit cesspool, that if any of them got a whiff that he was sick, it would have been all over the internet. The fact that that there was never a hint that the man was sick gave him the opportunity to die with some dignity.
And playing all these roles, doing these films over the last 4 years while being sick, while handling treatment, while exchanging correspondence with, you know, kids that were dealing with cancer. There was a video I watched where he had talked about two kids that he had been corresponding with that were fighting cancer, that were just trying to stay alive to see, you know, the release of Black Panther, and both of them passed away before the movie came out. So, you know, there is a level of emotion when you see that. It's a heightened level of emotion when you realize he's dealing with the same disease that these kids lost their lives to. I can't, a better man than I am, because I don't know if I would be able to do what he did in those 4 years dealing with what he dealt with.
I'm going to say this, Ron, and I know that you like to belittle yourself. I know you like to put yourself as the butt of the joke, but I think that the human spirit is incredible. And I think that what you are capable of doing when put into a situation where you have to do something, I think you would have done it just as well as this guy.
Well, see, I'm not a hero like you. I won't claim to be that, but I am maybe so. Ooh, shots fired in the comments section. Billy's saying with all of these deaths, Brian probably took the lead in the death pool, right? Brian, what's your point total in the Ron and Brian death pool?
Zero.
But kudos to Andrew H. for taking the lead again, because he did have Tom Seaver. Again, here is a guy. He had David Stern, who was battling cancer, and he had Tom Seaver battling dementia. This is a man who really thought out his picks. Yeah. Feel, you know, we're in September. There's obviously, 3.5 more months plus to go in the year. But I feel Andrew might take this whole damn thing.
If there's anybody that can beat you, it will be him.
Right.
The only thing
I can say, not prize, so I can't get the money.
The only thing that I can say that I have going for me is that I have 10 people on my death pool that are still alive and all are potential points.
All right. Well, we will keep our fingers crossed for you.
At this point, I literally want to get one right. That's my goal.
I want to get some points.
That's all I care about at this.
All right. Brian, real important before we wrap up here tonight. What are you watching?
Ooh, yes. On HBO Max, a documentary called Class Action Park.
So I forgot that. I didn't even realize this was that, but I want to see this.
For those who grew up in the New York metropolitan area in the 1980s, Action Park was your amusement park to go to. It was not fancy.
No.
It wasn't
safe.
And that was the joy of Action Park. It was the idea. And you learn this watching the documentary, is that the thing that set it apart from other amusement parks was that there were rides at other amusement parks which simulated danger, but at no point were you ever actually in danger. At Action Park, the rides were so poorly designed, so poorly managed, and so poorly inspected that you were in danger second you got on any of the rides. Like, there's a great line in there. I'm not giving anything away. It's part of the trailer where one of the people who used to go there often is literally quoted as saying that at no point should there ever be a time where a second person dies in the wave pool.
I think that was Chris Gethard, the comedian.
Yes, that's who it is. Yeah, the comedian. He's just like, listen, there's absolutely no reason why you have a wave pool and you get to a point where a second person dies. The first time somebody dies in your wave pool is when you need to shut it down, revisit the engineering, and make it safe. And Action Park.
Right. I don't know if they addressed this since I haven't watched it yet. But apparently the guy who owned Action Park, since he couldn't get insurance, started his own insurance company and then insured the park.
And there was no insurance company. He just he basically created a company in like the Grand Cayman Islands and created Letterhead. Like it was part of what made Action Park work. First off, it was the 1980s, so Reagan was in power and everything was being deregulated. And at the same time, here comes a man who builds a amusement park with the goal of you get to control your risk. Meaning, if you want to go down this luge chute at top speed,
you can 100 miles an hour.
You can do it if you want to. We're not going to stop you, but you may get hurt.
Yeah.
Whereas other parks are going to sit there and say, we're going to say you can go as fast as you can, but we're going to put enough controls on your slide that you can never go more than 25 miles an hour. And people were really getting hurt. People died out there. Anyway, highly recommend. It's very short. It's only 90 minutes. So you're not making a major commitment. But I went to that park twice. And I remember even as a fucking teenager being like, yeah, I'm not going on that. I'm not going that either. I'm not going on that. I remember waiting online with my friends. And then when they got up to the point where they had to like go, I was like, okay, I'm getting off the line now. Just like I literally just spent the afternoon waiting on the line with my friends.
I went twice too. My dad took us one time. And then shockingly enough, we went on a school trip, which looking back on it was just so dangerous. But I went on the Alpine slide both times and I got burns on my skin both times from going.
Really?
Oh yeah. Because you fly down that thing. Like it was two speeds. It was slow and lightning fast. And if you went into one of those curves, like you went up on the embankment and like your arm or your leg was going to slide across the concrete. No around it. Yeah, it was painful.
Oh, wow. Did you definitely need to watch it. I really recommend it. It was a great 90 minutes.
All right. So I have a few things I'm watching.
Ron, hold on a second. Ron?
Yeah.
What are you watching?
Well, and this is kind of a beef with HBO, is that when they have a episodic show, they still do that old school thing of just releasing one episode a week. So I am watching Lovecraft County. Or Lovecraft Country, excuse me, the little horror racism show that they're doing. Not bad. I like it so far.
Can you give me some? What's it about?
It would take way too long to describe it. Like
when you say, really yeah, it, but when you it, say it, horror it, and horror and racism, and I like those two things rarely get combined.
So it is based in I want to say like the '50s or the '60s. So the main characters are all African American. So they are dealing with the racism in the country at that time, while also dealing with, you know, the author H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
They're also dealing with monsters based off of like H.P. Lovecraft. So it's a mix. It's very. I'm three episodes in. The third episode was the best. The first two took a little bit to get through. Third was the best. I am also watching The Vow, which is the documentary on the NXIVM. Sex cult.
Oh, I wanted to watch that.
So I'm two episodes in, and like,
are you joining the cult?
What I don't get is how it went from being like almost like a professional motivational thing to being a sex cult. Like, you can see if it was religious based, how it turns into a sex cult. I am really interested to see how it took this right turn from, you know, how I can be a better professional to here's how I can be in a sex cult.
Ron, we have a podcast. Wildly successful. Wildly, yeah. It's successful beyond what anything you and I ever thought of. If I had the opportunity to turn this into a sex cult, I would have already done it.
Fair enough.
It's not that much of a jump.
But one more thing I'm watching, and I know you mocked me for this when I told you. On
Dancing with the Stars.
Cobra Kai.
Yeah, you're going to have to walk me through this one.
So,
because I saw the original Karate Kid in the theaters.
Yes.
Wax on, wax off.
So,
pink the fence.
So, initially on YouTube Red, Netflix bought the two seasons that were on YouTube Red and are producing a third season to come out in 2021. But basically, the premise of it is present day. Daniel LaRusso is a very successful auto dealership owner. And Johnny Lawrence, the kid he beat in the finals, is a down on his luck guy who's stuck in the 80s to reopen the Cobra Kai dojo. And I think it appeals in a couple different ways. If you are a child of the 80s and you watch The Karate Kid, it's very cheesy and over the top, and you see a lot of throwbacks to the 80s. And then they also tie in because, Daniel LaRusso has a family and Johnny Lawrence has a kid. So you see
is how Ralph Macchio in it.
Ralph Macchio is everybody from the initial.
Oh, show. Get out of here. I didn't realize Ralph Macchio was in it.
Ralph Macchio plays it. William Zabka plays Johnny Lawrence.
I knew Zabka was in it. Yeah. I didn't know Macchio was in it.
The woman who played Daniel LaRusso's mom is in it. Billy says Cobra Kai is so good.
I have a question. At any point, does Bananarama's It's a Cruel Summer get played?
Not yet, but there
please tell me yes.
Not yet, but there is a shit ton of 80s music in there. A lot of 80s.
Now I'm going to have to watch this.
I'm telling you. And it's like the episodes are like 25, 30 minutes long. It is very bingeable. Like, we got through like season one in like 3 or 4 days, and we're already now, 4 episodes into season two.
Is there any moment where you want to wear a skeleton bodysuit?
They even have a callback to that.
Fuck! Now I have to watch this. I didn't want to watch it. Damn it!
You will be shocked as to how much you enjoy it.
Sounds like I'm going to fucking love it. God damn it!
Once we're done tonight, I want you to go watch.
I'm going to. I'm going to.
I think we've done a great show again here tonight. I think
I would like to point out, and one of our listeners in Pennsylvania told me last week that I needed to control my alcohol intake this week because I'm donating convalescent plasma tomorrow. Much like Donald Trump, I do believe that plasma filled with the COVID antibodies is going to save lives. So I would like to point out that unlike other episodes where I would have had maybe 2 shots and a beer, I literally had my Russian Imperial Stout and a glass of water.
Very nice. All right.
I'm baby. Hold on a second. Yes, absolutely. I do want to say one thing.
Yes.
We are about to go to our Patreon.
Yes.
We are about to jump to After Dark. The people who are our Patreons have the ability, go to Patreon, check your email. We sent out a link earlier today so that you can, using your cell phone, using your laptop, using your desktop with a webcam, you can actually join us on our After Dark episode later today. That is for bronze level. What is that? What are we talking? $10 a month?
Yes, $10 a month.
Cup of coffee. It's a cup of coffee at Starbucks. You can actually join us in 10 minutes over at our After Dark episode where you're going to be part of the show. If you can't find the link, go to your Patreon account. Click on Ron and Brian Podcast. You'll see the link right there. It'll take you to StreamYard. You'll be able to join us and be part of the show. If you are listening right now and you are not a Patreon and you want to be part of our After Dark episodes moving forward, click the link. Go to Patreon.
Real quick question before we get out of here, Brian. Cobra Kai, will you watch it before or after you tuck in your fleshlight?
Oh, before.
All right.
Way before.
All right, we're going to roll on out of here. Thank you all for joining us. We will catch you all next week, unless you're on the Patreon. Then we'll catch you in about 10 minutes. All right, thank you, everybody. We're out. Thank you.